from Hopeful Baptist Church, June 20th, 2010, Father's Day, the sermon titled, The Prodigal's Father. Scripture, Luke 15, 11 through 32. This was the 10:50 a.m. worship service, and the message is delivered by Reverend Rick Hamrick.
Thank you, choir. You sounded like about 25 strong.
Amen.
Appreciate that, being led in worship in that way. Well, I ran across this little thing this week, thinking about fatherhood and honoring our fathers. It is said that at age 4, a child will look to their dad and say, "My dad can do anything." And by age 7, they say, "My dad knows a lot." By age 12, the child looks at dad and says, "Well, we can't expect him to know everything." By age 14, dad is so old-fashioned. And then by 21, he just does not understand. And then we get a little older. By age 25, we're saying, "Well, my dad maybe knows a little bit." By age 30, I need to find out what dad thinks. By age 50, my dad knows everything. And then by age 60 or 65, I wish I could talk it over with dad one more time. That's kind of the progression we go through. Some of these teenagers sitting down here saying, yeah, right. Yeah. Yeah, we go through that, though. All of us probably have, thinking, you know, when we were very small, how wonderful our dad was, but invincible. Could do anything, fix anything, know the answer to anything. And, you know, by the time middle school, high school comes around, dad's not all that much, you know. But we always, seems like, kind of tend to come back around later on in life to thinking, you know, I've got to give my dad some credit. He knew some stuff. What were those lessons he taught me? And try to bring those back up and remember them all over again. Being a dad, I just want to tell you, because I am one, I know this. Being a dad is hard work. Can I get an amen? Thank you. I thought I could. Had a built-in cheering section this morning. I thought I knew just exactly how to be a dad. Thought I had it all figured out. And when I was a youth minister, parents of teenagers would come to me, dads, and be talking to me about situations they have going on at home. And, you know, I was just really free-flowing with some wonderful advice for them. I knew it all. And then I became a dad, and now I don't really know how in the world to get this accomplished. You know, how to be the kind of dad that I need to be. It's very hard work. Hard things that a father's called on to do is what I want us to talk about today. And I want us to see this from the example of a father that we find in Scripture. There is, in the 15th chapter of Luke's Gospel, this beautiful, beautiful story. It's called The Story of the Prodigal Son. And most of the time, we look at this story from the perspective of the son, or we focus all of our attention in the story on the son. You know the story. There was this youngest son of this man. He had two sons. The younger one comes to him and says, "Dad, how about going ahead and dividing up your inheritance and give me what's mine so I can move off and live life the way I want to live it?" And the dad gives the son his inheritance. And we know the son goes off and he just gets involved in all kind of riotous living, making all kind of poor decisions. He finds himself completely broke, destitute, living in poverty, having to feed the pigs, and then thinking, boy, if I could just eat what those pigs are eating, maybe I could survive. And he all of a sudden he thinks, wow, if I could just think about how good my father's servants have it. Well, at least they have a couple good meals to eat every day. If I could just go home and my father, if he could just let me be his servant, oh, we'd be so much better off than we are today. And that's the story. And we focus all of our attention on the son and we think, oh, that old no good for nothing son. I mean, boy, he just didn't really know how to. How could he show such disrespect for his father? Today, I want us to focus on the father. And the father in this story had some very. He was called upon to do some very hard, very difficult things. I want us to look at these. It might serve as a model for us as fathers and mothers, as parents in general, because we're going to be called on to do some hard things as well, if we haven't already. I want us to look at these things. With open hands, this prodigal's father said, I release you. With open arms, he says, I receive you. And with open heart, he says, I respect you. And these are hard things to do because you know the story of the prodigal son. And you know the mistakes he made. Beginning with his very request for the inheritance. Let's look at chapter 15 of Luke, beginning with verse 11. Jesus continued. This tells us, by the way, this is a story that Jesus, our Savior, taught. There was a man who had two sons. The younger one said to his father, Father, give me my share of the estate. So he divided his property between them. Not long after that, the younger son got together all he had, set out for a distant country, and there squandered his wealth in wild living. Here's the first thing the father had to do that was difficult. He had to open his hands in generosity and say to his son, I release you. And that's difficult. But there comes a time in every child's life when the parent has to say, I release you. And sometimes it seems as if the child is making a very good decision, and you say, I'll release you. Other times it seems like, no, that's not a good decision, and I just hate to see them go down that path. But sometimes, and this is the hardest thing a parent's called on to do, sometimes you just have to say, okay, you may go. And that's hard because we don't want to see them make mistakes. We don't want to see them get hurt. By the way, are they going to make mistakes? Absolutely. Hey, have you made mistakes? Yes. Are our children going to get hurt after we've released them? Yes, they're going to get hurt. Have you been hurt? Yes, they're going to be hurt. And we don't want to see this. We want to shelter them from all of these possible problems. But listen, as fathers, as mothers, we have the responsibility of teaching, of training our children, of setting a godly example before them, showing them how life is lived under God's control. And then after we've done that, there comes a time where we have to say, you are released. And we just have to pray and trust that all the life lessons that we've taught them, the example we've set before them is good enough to get them through those difficult days, the bad decisions, the times that they're going to be hurt. We have to be able to say, I release you. In Proverbs 22:6, we hear this verse. We've heard this verse a lot. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. Some of you are saying, well, wait a minute. I don't know if I believe that or not. It is in the Bible, by the way, so it might be worth believing. But in general, folks, listen, if you have set the example before your children, if you've lived the life that God's called you to live before them, generally, now there are times where Satan gets such a stronghold in a person's life that a parent never does see that child come back around. But generally speaking, you live the life before your children and teach them the lessons God's given you to teach them. And when you release them, even though they make mistakes, even though they get hurt, even though all this happens, they're going to come back around. It's just like they start out saying, oh, my dad, he knows everything. And then they get to where they say, my dad doesn't know anything. And later in life they say, you know, my dad, after all, he did know some stuff. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he's old, he'll not depart from it. Sometimes when he's old, he'll come back to it. He'll come back to it. The prodigal son squandered his wealth in wild living. Now, the father didn't want that for him. He didn't want any of that. So he didn't want his son to have to experience poverty. Sometimes the most loving thing you can do for a child is to let them experience something that hurts, because it teaches the lesson. And with the lesson learned, they can come back around to the lessons that you've taught them all their lives. Is being a father hard? You bet it is. This is one of the hardest things a father has to do. With open hands, I release you. Well, there's something else hard that fathers are often called on to do. With open arms, this father in this story says, I receive you. I receive you. Well, what's so hard about receiving our children? Well, sometimes when they've done wrong and they've turned their back on you, and they've run 100 miles an hour in the opposite direction of everything you've taught them is right and wrong, and they've brought disgrace on you, and they've embarrassed you by the way they've acted, sometimes it is hard to open your arms up and say, I receive you back to myself. But the example we have from the prodigal's father is that's exactly what he did. Look at verses 20 and 21 of Luke 15. This is after the son has made all the bad decisions. He's really in a bad state. It says, so he's made a decision to go back home. Verse 20, so he got up and went to his father. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion for him. He ran to his son, threw his arms around him, and kissed him. The father's reaction to the returning son was a reaction of compassion. He didn't point his finger. He didn't say, I told you so. He didn't clench his fist. He didn't have cross words and cross examination. He just opened his arms to receive him back. The boy had learned his lesson. And here's how the father, and here's how you as a father, here's how you as a parent can receive a prodigal child back. When you see that they've turned their face back toward home, that they've repented, that they've changed, you know then they've learned the lessons that needed to be learned. And now they just need to be able to come home. Is that difficult? Is that hard? You bet it's hard. One of the hardest things you'll ever be called on to do, because we do want to point our fingers. We do want to accuse them. We do want to pump our fist in the air. Why, you no good son of mine. But what do they need? They need us to stretch our arms out and say, I receive you. I receive you. Verses 18 and 19. We're backing up just a little bit. The son stands up in the middle of that pigsty and he says, I will set out and I will go back to my father and I'll say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired men. So he got up and he went to his father. You see, the son had a change of mind. He knew what he had done was wrong. He had a change of heart. He had a change of action. He repented. And he turned back toward home. Sometimes we have to receive our children back with open arms. There's a third thing that this father, the prodigal's father, had to do that's very difficult. And sometimes we've got to do this. With an open heart, we say, I respect you. I respect you. Now listen. This prodigal son had not shown any respect whatsoever for his father. Took half the inheritance. In other words, saying, I just assume you be dead now. Father, to me, you're dead because I'm taking your inheritance and I'm leaving. Not showing a lot of respect. And the way he lives his life, the way he chooses to spend that money, the way he chooses to be involved with prostitutes and gambling and whatever all else he got involved in, that was disrespectful to his father, an upstanding person. Can you show respect to someone who doesn't respect you or who hasn't shown respect to you or who has disgraced you in the past? If we follow the example of the prodigal's father, we have to. We have to receive them back and show respect for them. Luke 15:22-24. But the father said to his servants, quick, bring the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. Bring the fatted calf and kill it. Let's have a feast and celebrate. For this son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. So they began to celebrate. You see, the father who could have reciprocated the disrespect instead chose to respect his son. Not for what he had done, but for who he was. He was his son. And so he put a robe on his shoulders. He put the family ring on his finger. In other words, saying, hey, you're still part of this family. And you know what? The members of the family got to wear sandals. The servants went barefooted. He put sandals on that boy's feet. He said, you are my son. That shows a great deal of respect. You're not respecting what decisions he made, what poor judgment he had, but you're respecting the person that he is. And listen, your children, regardless of what they've done good and regardless of what they've done bad, your children are God's creation. He's got a plan and purpose for them. They're worth respecting because God loves them. Loves them so much. He respects them so much, he's willing to give up his very life for them. Now, dads, if you're a dad here today, I want you to let this father of the prodigal son, be a role model for you in doing the hard things that have to be done. But for everyone else of you, if you're breathing air today, that's all of you, right? Check it, make sure. If you're breathing today, here's what I want this story to mean to you. Let this prodigal's father represent God in your life. Have you ever been a prodigal? Think about it. The events of your being a prodigal might not look just like this story from the Bible, but you have been. Isaiah 53:6 says, "We all like sheep have gone astray." That sounds like prodigal, doesn't it? Each of us has turned to his own way. That sounds like prodigal, doesn't it? And Scripture says we've all done this. We're all guilty of being prodigals. Look at what God, your Father, has done for you. Has it been easy? It hasn't been easy. He's done some of the hardest things He could possibly do on your behalf. Here's what He's done. With open hands, He said, "I release you." He's given you a free will. He's given you a life and set you free to live it the way you choose to live it, showing love for you. And He's opened His arms wide and said, "I receive you." And when you've gone astray, when you've made the wrong decision, and you turn your face back toward home, God opens His arms up and He runs to you as fast as He can. And He throws His arms around you and He says, "I receive you. You are mine. Welcome back." And God has opened His heart and said, "I respect you. You still have a life to live for me," He says. He says, "I'm going to treat you like my own child." That's what God's done for you. If you're a prodigal today, and we all are, look how God the Father wants to respond to you. Let's pray. It is difficult stuff that you've called us to do, God. But when we think of what difficulty we've put you through, how our own straying away has brought heartache to you and disgrace, when we think of the ways we've disrespected you, it's troubling. And God, we cannot understand why you would care so much that you had let us go and do it in the first place, but then you would receive us back and welcome us home and treat us as your very children. And we don't understand it, but we sure do thank you. I pray, God, that we might be parents modeled after this Father, because this Father's modeled after you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be convicted this morning of your prodigalhood. I didn't know the word to use. Maybe God's showing you, "Hey, you're away. You're away from me. You're running the other way. Come home." I want to offer to you this morning as we sing a final hymn to make that decision to turn back to Jesus. God's got His arms open wide. He's waiting. He's scanning the horizon, just waiting for you to turn back toward home. Would you do that today? Others of you maybe are needing to make a decision public that you've accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior. Others may be looking for a church home to join. Whatever it is, would you do that today? Settle whatever it is between you and God that needs to be today. You can use this time to pray, or you can take me by the hand and let me pray and talk with you about it. Whatever it is, would you use this time? You and God. He has open hands. He has open arms. He has an open heart for you.